The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Chiefs Kingdom, welcome into the AP Draft Room on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Appreciate you joining us. I am Ron Kopp, Jr., lead analyst at the site. With me, as usual, as typical, Caleb James at CJ Scoobs on Twitter. We're doing this thing, breaking down some Chiefs draft as usual. Although, Caleb, you were kind of joined by some other great guests last week without me, and I got a lot of FOMO. I definitely got a lot of FOMO missing out on that great talk, listening back, because y'all had a great discussion. How did y'all think you think last week went after I ditched you last minute?
I thought it went pretty good, you know, just the last second host job. You always have to do it sometimes. But in typical AP podcast fashion, we recorded it. We probably thought we did a good job. And then like 3 hours later, the Chiefs made their biggest like outside, you know, outside of the in-house free agent move they could have made when they went and got Hollywood. So that was fun. I think Serta put a disclaimer in there the next day so we didn't look silly with our podcast dropping Friday morning. That was the big topic of attention.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have got that. Because everyone, you know, the signs were there in Hollywood Brown, you know, something that, like, we saw coming. I mean, he was streaming. He was talking about Mahomes on his live stream. I guess he does that. You know, he was, like, playing video games and stuff, and he was watching highlights, and he was, you know, he was getting hyped up for Mahomes, like, 2 days before the news, like, it was something that, like, you know, maybe it was just a tease. Maybe it was, you know, and then our guy Ricky, shout out Ricky on Twitter, was kind of calling it too. You know, it was we saw it coming, Caleb. And, you know, unfortunately, you guys didn't get it to break it down. So we're just going to do it today. And, you know, I wrote for the site about him because I had some time to look at his film from last year and the year before. I actually did go back to 2022 as well, because I think it is important to look at the fact that this dude has just been in a bad situation in Arizona, you know, with Kyler Murray just being hurt so many times. They only played 10 games together where Kyler Murray started all the way through. And there was just only really one, you know, stretch where they got a lot of momentum between each other. And that was at the start of 2022. But I just think this is, I'm a big fan of the signing, especially at the fact that they got the 1 year deal, Caleb. They got it, you know, given the motivation to go get that long-term deal. What were your initial reactions when you were getting this late night notification for Hollywood?
You know, I was expecting it. I wasn't like super, you know, I wasn't like super blown away, but I wasn't like, this is a bad deal. You know, I see everyone's like, you know, head over heels for it. Obviously, I just try to keep it in perspective. I'm like, I guess the thing I was most happy about once I like kept it in perspective and all that is you look at it and you're like, okay, deep threat. We have a guy that can separate at the top of his routes, run deep routes. Then you go and look and you start looking at his numbers. You go, okay, yeah, he didn't have too bad of a year. You know, he was fine really for the amount of targets he had. And then you go like, look at his drop rate. And he did drop about 4% of the target, you know, the balls that were thrown to him this year. Then you go look at a guy like MVS's drop rate, who dropped 7% of the passes, and go, oh yeah, the Chiefs led the league in drop pass percentage this year by a staggering margin for a team with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. And then when you look at Hollywood's contract, you're also kind of in your head going, well, they basically gave him the money that was slotted for MVS this season, you know, to bring him in. And all in all, you know, you have to be thinking, you know, yeah, the Chiefs did get a little bit better today. Because it's one thing to like be the MVS guy, you know, when he does catch a deep ball where he's got to turn around to be facing Mahomes and then just falls down when he catches it. It's another thing for a guy like Marquise Brown to catch the deep ball in stride and then take it to the house. I think you're going to start – I think with this move, though, you're going to see a lot of that explosion return to the Kansas City offense.
No, I think it's such an upgrade over MVS. It's not even funny. And the thing to me is, like, talk about stature. Talk about MVS being this longer dude, this taller dude. Marquise Brown is a much shorter stature guy, 5'8", listed at 180 pounds. At the combine, he was 166 pounds. But he definitely has put on weight. He's a little thicker than he used to be. But watch him go up for a ball – deep down the field, watching him, you know, play those balls in the air, you know, be instinctual at the catch point. You know, he is so much better attacking and making plays down the field than MVS is, you know, on the sideline as well, you know, just tracking balls, you know, making the most of throws. You know, I kind of have maybe talked about Mahomes' deep accuracy these last couple of years being, you know, a little shaky, but I really think it's really because he feels so uncomfortable throwing to a guy like MVS who just has terrible attacking skills and needs the ball perfectly put in his breadbasket. Marquise Brown, even though he is a shorter dude, is definitely going to be a better, you know, attacker of the ball, you know, draw pass interferences. He actually does that at a pretty good rate for his size, you know, and that's the thing. MVS could not draw pass interferences because he wouldn't attack the ball. He wouldn't earn the flag. And I think a lot of times that was the problem. So I'm excited about this, but there's so much more than Hollywood Brown than the deep stuff, because I think when you talk about the combination, Caleb, of him, Rashee Rice, and Travis Kelce, the way they can interchange routes, the way they can all attack different parts of the field, and I really think Hollywood Brown is underrated in his ability to win at the intermediate, you know, win on outs to the sideline, win on curl routes, you know, win on, you know, just like dig routes, that kind of thing where, you know, he can kind of create separation and you know, in short windows. But also, he's a pretty good yak player. You know, he's obviously not going to miss any tackles, force any missed tackles. But I'm excited for him to just be able to do a lot of everything. And that's kind of what Rice can do as he evolves. And Kelce, obviously, is just such a versatile player. I don't know. I think it was a great signing. And I honestly was going to be okay with it if it was a multi-year deal. You know, I really thought he was going to be a fun fit for the Chiefs. But the fact that it's a one-year deal is honestly even better, because he is going to be, you know, in such a motivated position to, you know, just be the wide receiver one, you know, be a true wide receiver one, get paid like one next offseason. And I honestly think he has a chance to put up those kind of numbers, Caleb. Like, I really do. Like, I think people might need to understand that, like, you know, I could see like Rice, like maybe not having a step forward statistic wise because Brown might come in and be that dude. Like, I really think that could happen, Caleb. Like, are you that optimistic about Brown, or am I a little higher than you?
I'm not quite as optimistic, but also I kind of like the idea of what the Chiefs had in the 2022 offense. Still very potent and very explosive, obviously very centric around Travis Kelce, but just what they got out of, you know, the supporting cast, out of like a guy like Juju, you know, out of, you know, what MVS was his best season was 2022. I think when you kind of combine what all, you know, what those guys do well, I think that it's going to turn back into this kind of more well-balanced attack to where you don't really have like that big, you know, 1,000-yard guy, except for maybe Kelce bounces back, goes for 1,000 yards again. But let's say Rashee Rice gets 900 yards and has 5 or 6 touchdowns. We're all very happy. If Marquise Brown goes out and has 700 to 800 yards, has 5 or 6 touchdowns, we're all still very happy. And then, you know, unnamed other receiver possibly in the draft goes out, has 600 or 700 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns. I mean, you don't need someone to have that monster, you know, 1,500 yard season anymore. You know, Mahomes is at the point in his career where he's going to distribute the ball to the open guy no matter where they are. I just think the idea of bringing in Brown is because I think they get a little bored sometimes. I think Mahomes gets a little bit bored sometimes. And I also think that, you know, outside of that pass to Mecole Hardman in the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people forgot how awesome the Mahomes deep balls can be.
Yeah, no, exactly. And they haven't been able to be unlocked because MVS, you know, is someone that, again, just doesn't unlock them for him. Justin Watson can, but he's just such a limited player and such a one-dimensional player that defenses are starting to understand that, you know, he's our primary deep threat and not going to allow him to get those open, lanes down the field like maybe he used to at some points in his career. Although now, obviously, with Hollywood becoming that more primary deep threat, Justin Watson may, you know, be more valuable again as that secondary deep threat. I really do love the fit he brings. And I do love that he's already working with Bobby Stroup, right? You know, you saw that with Mahomes and Rashee Rice all together. I think that's the one thing, right? You know, if he's healthy, you know, he's had some injury problems in his career, but if he's playing at full health, he's dangerous, man. And he really would be a great player in this offense. But his signing does put us, apparently, according to John Dixon, our great cap expert, you know, at the site, AP, $7.7 million in cap space right now. With the L'Jarius Sneed thing still being held up, his franchise tag number is obviously impacting that. And so that kind of just puts you in a position where can you really do anything else until the Sneed trade happens? Until, you know, because the trade or because the draft, you kind of need a little, you know, a pretty big chunk of that to sign your draft picks. And then obviously, you know, you just kind of need some a little bit of cap space after that to just sign, you know, free agents as maybe the offseason goes. You don't want to just be at zero at the draft. So I don't know, Caleb, like, you know, I guess where we sit right now, like you guys talked about the Sneed trade last time, we haven't seen any really progress, except maybe that it seems less likely to happen, right? I guess that's probably maybe my question here is, do you feel less positive that Sneed gets traded, I guess, at this point than you did last week?
There are more people that know what actually happened on the grassy knoll than know what happened is happening with this L'Jarius Sneed trade right now. Because, I mean, Pretty Ricky had sources. He had guys that were putting him in the know. And then
all of a sudden,
Schefter dropped the hammer and said, I'm just like, where is Jay Glazer with, like, the late scoop, like the, late night jib scoop? I'm like, where's Jay Glazer at right now? But, no, man, no one really knows what's happening. Look, there's too much smoke for there not to be some fire. I mean, the Chiefs aren't a dumb franchise. They weren't just going to, like, sit there and, like, just entertain no offers for him. I still think it's kind of just they're waiting on him, but the team really can't do anything right now because they got his big tag, they got the Chris Jones contract, and now they've got Hollywood Brown under the deal. So maybe it's holding them up from bringing a guy back like Mike Dana, who they might want on their roster, who hasn't been re-signed, hasn't signed with anyone. Sounds like Mike Dana could want to be back. They've brought back pretty much their entire defensive line. So I'd be curious to, you know, keep holding on to that, you know, for the next couple of weeks here. I think just as you get closer to the draft week, I don't know if they would move on from him at that point.
Well, I guess we have to operate under this assumption that Brett Veach is once again being held hostage by the franchise tag. And so today we are going to be looking into the draft for the first time from a mock perspective. I don't know about you, Caleb. I don't see you posting a bunch of mocks, so I guess you might be on the same wavelength as me, but I just don't feel like mocks are truly necessary until we get to maybe this point. I think after free agency is when you can kind of, it makes sense. Cause before that, I mean, you just have no idea who they're going to sign in free agency, who they're going to even have room for on the roster. I think now you can kind of maybe shape it a little better. And so I think today's a good day to look at it from a mock perspective. First of all, I guess, do you agree with me on that? I on the mock.
I've been like do a mock in December guy. I've been doing a mock in January guy. This year has
a month. Okay.
This year hasn't really been that. I'm like, I'm just going to wait. Cause I mean, dude, I think if you do the mock drafts too early, you just start getting bored and then you start just coming up with scenarios. And it's like, hey, scenario A you thought was going to happen is probably what the Chiefs are going to do. Like everyone drafted FAU in their first mock last year. And then by the time we're trading back, they're trading up, they're taking sleepers you've never heard of in the first round. I'm like, scenario A or B is usually right with the mock draft.
No, that is funny. I mean, hey, you got to give us credit, though. We sucked through it. We had FAU in our team mock draft at the very end of it. But okay, but before we look at the mock draft, which we are going to look at the first three rounds, pick three Chiefs picks and kind of see, you know, how that shapes out for us. We're going to use the PFF mock simulator. Before we do that, though, we do have to kind of just make sure we know what positions we're attacking. And I think that is important because I think it is kind of shifted since free agency has changed or since free agency has happened. And since we are kind of in this lock hold with L'Jarius Sneed, because one thing I will say, if they trade Sneed, quarterback might be like one of the most obvious first round picks all of a sudden. Maybe not obvious, but just like one of the more likely because, you know, there are a lot of talented outside cornerbacks in that range that they could be drafting. I mean, even a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry is dropping low, which I think is ridiculous. He's someone that I think is becoming underrated in the class just because I think maybe testing stuff. He is going through an injury right now. He's going to have surgery on a, but all that to say, I mean, there's a lot of things, Caleb. Positional wise, though, breaking down which ones we need, does it make sense that receiver is still on the board for the top 2 days? Do you think they still need to be, you know, looking at taking receiver? I think so, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially with this class where it does actually feel right. like it's extremely deep. I mean, you have people talking about like Xavier Leggett in the second round. Like, yeah, if it's deep enough, then, you know, you have to be considering it in one of the first two picks you have.
All right. What about, because that's obvious. I think I definitely agree with you. Let's look at just the offensive skill position in general, though. Like, wouldn't it be interesting if they do take a running back or a tight end on day two, even if it's one of those round three picks, maybe even round two? Are you willing to put them on the draft board in this mock draft?
I think for me, I think tight end would be a little too rich for my blood in the first three rounds. Okay. Just, I mean, I think there's some fine players. I just don't think it's really going to be any like fits for the Chiefs or really what they need. Running back could be interesting. I think that the Chiefs secretly do value their running backs a little bit more, despite Pacheco being the seventh round pick. And to be honest, they do need like a guy they can bring in and have 4 years of control over, to where, you know, like Pacheco, you know, he can be a guy that can run in tandem with him for, you know, because we know Pacheco's going to need a running mate. He's going to get banged up a little bit. So they might value that a little bit more right now.
No, definitely. And they kind of need two different kinds of backs. You know, even though on the roster right now, they have LaMichael Pirine, Denarik Prince, and Keontae Ingram behind Isaiah Pacheco and Hassan Hall, which I didn't catch that one, but he's also on the 90 man. But yeah, they need someone to compliment Pacheco on those, you know, give him some rest, but also, you know, a pass down back. And obviously those guys can be the same person, but I think they just do need a couple additions, and we haven't seen any free agency action from them. I thought that might've been a sneaky position in free agency. So I definitely agree that running back should be on the draft board here. Tight end, I agree. Let's push that down to day three. Just not worth it with only three picks. That's one thing I should have mentioned, that as we're in this stranglehold or this hold with L'Jarius Sneed, no draft compensation for him. Only the picks at 32, 64, and 95 in this mock the first 2 days. All right, we got to be putting every offensive line position on the draft board. Obviously, center guard is kind of just a one position in the draft, you know, as we kind of evaluate it. Although I don't think they'd be taking a true center. I think, you know, if there is a true center, it would tell you something about Creed, right? Unless they think he can play guard. I think guard is definitely more likely. What do you think about that? Do you think they would take a true center if a guy, you know, is, because there are a lot of true centers in this class.
Yeah, but I think they have a lot of faith in Creed. You know, I see right. people making the comments about the snaps and like, oh, well, he's going to end up playing guard. That just doesn't seem likely to me. That's dumb. I think that would be silly from an offensive line analyst perspective. I do think, though, guard, you know, looking ahead to the future, it's something you kind of need. And also, you right. lost Nick Allegretti, so you don't have that versatile guard center backup you've typically had. And then, you know, I know from, I'd say, you know, that could be something if they took like a third round pick on like a pretty good guard who they're like, yeah, he'll sit a year, but he's going to be a 4 or 5. He's going to be a 4 year starter for us after that. You know, I'd be fine with that. And then like even looking over to tackle, man, it's like, we don't know who's going to be left tackle. Donovan Smith's not on the roster. You know, we think we know with Wanya Morris, but if they got a chance to take a guy day one who they think can come in and be the guy, I don't think they'd hesitate to take that. They've just valued offensive line so greatly since the Super Bowl catastrophe against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, 100%. No, even if it's not day one, I think it'd still be worthy maybe to, you know, draft one of the, you know, a left tackle type on day two. And it just, you know, a swing tackle, even, you know, guys that can play both, you know, even if Juwan gets hurt, you know, something that, you know, you can trust a guy. Cause right now, yeah, it's just Lucas Niang. And you know, I don't know about y'all, but you know, he's not someone that, you know, makes me feel good when he's in the game. So it is definitely a need on all positions on the offensive line, but that's the thing on offense. There's a lot more needs than I feel like on defense when you're talking about the top of the draft, right? Like I really think you only need to be looking at defensive end and defensive tackle on the first couple of days. Do you think there's any need to be looking at the linebacker, cornerback or safety position as we sit here, if we're under the assumption that L'Jarius Sneed is going to be on this team through the draft and possibly, you know, on this team, obviously in 2024, do you see them attacking the back end at all of the defense on the first couple of days?
Yeah, I think there's always that chance that if Sneed does get traded, that they could potentially want to look into a day one corner. As far as the linebacker thing, I just don't really think this class is that great overall, but the Chiefs have valued linebacker in the past. They've taken it even when they really haven't needed to, you know, they, so, I mean, that would be something interesting to keep an eye on, especially since Nick Bolton only has that 1 year left on his contract. And then, you know, with the safety, I think they're just going to roll with what they have. I think they kind of like, I think they like what they have. I think Justin Reed is who he is, you know. Not a friend of the show, but he is he plays fine. I think they're really high on Brian Cooks. So I think they're high on Shamari Connor also. So it'd be fun to see how those guys kind of pair up and match up. But yeah, I mean, I think the most likely would be like, yeah, they'll take a corner maybe in the first 3 days if they take Snead. Linebacker's kind of a wild card. I think if they take a safety, it's gonna be like a late day three guy to play specials.
All right, so but let's say we are just going to assume that they are keeping Snead for 2024. Maybe, you know, we don't know that they're going to extend him, maybe, but that he's going to be here. Would you still have cornerback on your board?
I would not if I knew we were going to retain Snead for at least a year, just because I think there's other spots you need more of.
So hopefully we get some resolution there, so the next time we mock, we can kind of – because I think it is worthy of just – let's just operate under that assumption, not have cornerback on our draft board. Because again, this, you know, cause again, like a guy like Nazi Johnson, you know, is someone that, you know, was promising last year and could, you know, be depth, as well. So they do have young players to develop as well, but you agree that obviously defensive end, defensive tackle, at the current standpoints are going to be on the board. Although how strong is defensive tackle anymore? I still think that I'd love for them to attack it, you know, with as much aggressiveness as they were before they had all these signings of the guys back, but do you think it kind of changes your tone on that position in general, attacking it high?
It doesn't really, because you know, we're Jared, cap expert Jared's on the show last week, and he starts talking about these deals they gave these guys, and they're not like, oh man, these are for sure guys deals. Like the deals for Nadi and Pinnell aren't that big. Turk Wharton's going to be back probably based on the money that they gave him, and they've liked him a lot. But I'm still like, you know, from a couple of these guys that they did bring back, it's like they're still going to have to fight to make a spot. And I think still as deep as the defensive tackle class is, you know, they would be still wise to take someone. And at defensive end, I mean, you can never have enough pass rushers. I know they've got a couple of first round defensive ends in back to back years. Take another one, man. It's the NFL. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to miss time. You know, you may be able to get like a speed rusher, or you may be able to get like a Darius Robinson type that can go out there and just kind of play all over the field.
Yeah, I know you would be on board with them drafting a first one again, because Chop Robinson might be that guy that would, you know, because imagine, you know, I think it's a little different. Obviously, Karloftis didn't maybe have the numbers, but Karloftis did slide very far in that draft when he was supposed to go higher than you thought. Chop Robinson, I think, is a little different because his traits are just, you know, I think the NFL is going to bet on him. So maybe he doesn't slip. Maybe I shouldn't get you excited, but I know he's your guy. So let's look at the mock. Let's do it. Let's look at this mock. I'm going to pull up the PFF simulator for us. The people can't see it at home, but we can, and we will narrate this as good as well as possible. But I'm going to go with the public board, three rounds. Just picking for the Chiefs, obviously, for now. We might do a little more fun with that later, but let's hit it. And I'm gonna pause it, you know, as we get to the middle of the first round and talk a little through it at first. Okay, so first of all, boom. Oh, I did not. I was not able to pause it because I went very fast. So anyway, that's not happening. So let's look at what players went, you know, earlier than us. That. Because that's the thing. I kind of want to talk through like what players are just out of our reach that we shouldn't even consider, right? I think there's a, you know, a solid 15, 18 players, right, that are just completely out of it. I mean, in this draft, you kind of see a guy like, you know, Olu Fashanu actually fell all the way to 20, Caleb. Is that something that intrigues you? If he's fallen that far, would you go up for him?
Yeah, at that point, I would. I mean, I'm seeing a couple of these guys in like the top, you know, top 20 range. It's like, man, you would maybe make a decision on a couple of these guys based on kind of what we've seen. Even like Jerzon Newton at 23, maybe Chop Robinson at 26.
Yeah,
I mean, that's tough. Of course, the 49ers would get Darius Robinson, but
yeah, Yeah, Darius Robinson goes right before the Chiefs at 31.
Yeah, like that 20, I mean, there's a lot of interesting names on there. Cooper DeJean falling back. If they lost Snead, that could be interesting if he was in range somewhere.
He was definitely a Spags type of defensive back, definitely a corner, you know, can play physical on the outside. But yeah, you know, I think just players like, you know, they're not going up, you know, they're not going to be getting guys like
Joe Alt.
Yeah, Joe Alt.
Brock Bowers. Marvin Harrison.
Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, Malik Nabers. I think those are kind of like Brian Thomas is on that cusp, right? But I feel like he's even going to go too high for them to really get in. So I think this is, you know, a pretty realistic board for the most part. I think, you know, again, guys were falling a little bit further and we could have traded up. But, you know, for this mock, we're going to hold tight. We're going to see what we got here at 32. And again, we're going to filter out the positions to see kind of, you know, the positions we were thinking about. And, you know, in the first round, we're not, you know, maybe going to be considering running back necessarily. But we are going to be considering the defensive line, the wide receiver position, you know, offensive line. And so we're going to put all of them on the board. So, all right, let's see what we got here. Because a guy like Ladd McConkey is sometimes a popular pick for Chiefs fans at 32. You know, it does give you a lot of speed, a lot of route running in this offense. Again, another layer of it. You know, I'm definitely looking for more of an X receiver, I think, with how the Chiefs offense is fit right now. But a guy like, you know, is Braden Fisk worth that first round pick? You know, some people, you know, might not think so. I probably would say it'd be, you know, we might want to wait on that a little bit, but he is so explosive. Troy Franklin's there, right, Caleb? How do you feel about Troy Franklin maybe? Or just any of the receivers left? Keon Coleman is there.
I do like Ladd McConkey a lot. I've been kind of saying that. I talked about him when we went over the receivers. I might talk about him a little bit later on. It's just kind of one of those things when I've been watching him. I think that he did get lost in the sauce to where people said, like, oh, he's overrated. I'm like, he's really not, because Georgia had so many options, and their biggest one was Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers missed a couple of games. McConkey goes for over 100 in both of those when he is kind of like the main threat in the offense. And you mentioned he's got a lot of route versatility. He's a shifty runner. He is, like, does have some speed at the top of his route. The only thing that would, like, make me hesitate on that is, I don't know, there's a few similarities in there with Hollywood Brown to where, like, they do kind of, like, have a similar build type, and they would be probably be at task with doing similar things. I still do think, though, that the Chiefs do kind of want, like, a true slot kind of guy. I think McConkey could be that, even more a little so than Brown. So I think he'd be on their radar. You know, other receivers, Keon Coleman, he may be a little bit high here. I see Xavier Leggett down at 63. That's a little bit shocking. I kind of think he's going to – I think Leggett's a guy he could probably blow up a little bit higher as we get closer to time for this, because his, like, route – I mean, his, like, ability to catch contested passes, yak ability, explosion is pretty wild for him to be in the second round. And
yeah. I was going to say, I think I saw someone compare him to A.J. Brown, and it actually does kind of – it is a little A.J. Brownish. You know, he was someone that was a little underrated in his draft class as well, kind of went in the top of the second round, kind of has that same, you know, blend of build and yak ability like you mentioned. So he is definitely intriguing. I know my guy Rocky, our guy Rocky is on all over him, loves him. He does have a cool story, so it's always good there. But back to McConkey, because he is, you know, he is someone that – he was one of the first guys that I was like, you know, Chiefs would love him in this offense. And I do think there's some legitimacy too when you think about Rashee Rice's development as a player in the future, you know, becoming that on the ball, you know, on the line of scrimmage, you know, receiver, that X receiver, you know, that perimeter receiver more so. It does make sense that, you know, building McConkey into this offense with him, you know, they can kind of develop together and kind of complement each other. You know, because obviously Rice can play the slot now and kind of, you know, let McConkey grow into it as that yak guy, because McConkey does have a lot of yak ability, a lot of underneath ability. I'm definitely a big fan of his in this Chiefs fit. He's a strong pick here, Caleb. What other, you know, do we look at, you know,
what about, you know, the defensive line, just some D line?
Yeah, because a guy like Kingsley Suamataya from BYU, the offensive tackle, I'm intrigued by, but you know, I don't think they want another project maybe, you know, this early, right? They might want to save the project kind of guy for a little later if he slips. But on the defensive line, you know, we already look, you know, Marshawn Nealon's one of the high ones, Chris Jenkins. I mean, it is already kind of looking slim at the top. I mean, sheesh.
I saw they got Braswell up there. I mean, you talk about just a big load that can just bull rush into people. I mean, Spags has, does kind of like guys with his size and frame, you know.
No, I would say he was definitely someone that when I'm definitely, you know, I think he's a great fit for the for us, because I underrated his strength, but I think you're right. I think he is a powerful dude. He plays that strong end, but he has that twitch too, right? And that's what I really liked about him. He does have a little bit of juice. And so I think you're thinking about him, but when you look at kind of the depth maybe too, I mean, they do have options a little later, like does Nealon fall, right? You know, does Chris Jenkins fall as, you know, another contributor to the defense line? I know they're not the same player. I don't know, but I think I do like us choosing between the defensive line and receiver position. Are we liking Ladd enough to go with Ladd here in the first round?
I think we should go with him. I just think kind of what I mentioned earlier, I kind of think for a while, just because of the salary cap kind of stuff, the era of like the one big superstar receiver in Kansas City is probably gone for a while, but they're going to have to draft like, you know, or acquire, like have three or four quality guys every season that can all catch the ball. I don't think McConkey's ever going to be like a superstar or anything, but I think he shows up and is like a solid 800-yard guy, six touchdown guy for the majority of his career. So I would be fine if they took him here.
Yeah, I think it would be the move, because there is also, you know, I think you can wait on the defensive line a little bit, just a little bit, but you do have to address defensive line at some point. So you can't mismanage it. So, all right, we're going to pick Ladd McConkey here. First mock draft of the AP draft room. Rocky's going to kill us, but that's okay. All right. But I am going to keep the clock kind of rolling slow, see kind of what happens here. Maybe if we do want to trade up into this kind of 50 spot. So right here, we're pausing. We've seen guys go off the board, like Kingsley Suamataya, Troy Franklin goes off the board. Roman Wilson would have been another one, although they're probably not going to double up on receiver at this point, right? So we're probably thinking about the defensive line. Can I look at the draft board, please?
It'd be nice, because I think all of the defensive tackles we've kind of been covering, Fisk and Jenkins, would still be up there right now.
Yeah, it's not letting me see the draft board. So do we risk it? Do we want to trade with the Eagles right here? Or do we let it ride a little bit?
How many picks do we got to go?
We have about 14 picks until 64, where we'd be picking probably defensive line. Braswell, I don't think, has went either.
I think we would be fine if we're just looking for like an overall. If we're fine with either an edge or a defensive tackle, I think we're okay. This group in front of us does have like some pretty steep defensive lines outside of like maybe Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point.
Miami will probably take one of the defensive tackles, and it wouldn't surprise me if like the mock did it for the Eagles also. But I mean, there's still going to be guys there that we've been looking at, hopefully.
Yeah, because Chris Jenkins is still there. So, all right, let's see how it goes. We're going to see Chris Braswell goes off the board of the Rams at 52. So there we go. That he's the only one that we're still at 54, 10 picks away. We're going to let it ride a little bit, see how it goes. Braden Fisk off the board at Oro. Goes off the board as well. I'm fine with that. So a guy like Chris Jenkins is still on the board. A guy like Marshawn Nealon still on the board. I think
Devondre Sweat's still on the board too.
Do we let it ride all the way?
Yeah, might as well.
Let's do it. Oh, wow. Nealon goes off the board right there. And we still have Chris Jenkins on the board. We still have a guy, Christian Haynes, on the board, the guard from UConn. Again, I think guard is a position, you know, we talked about a little bit, you know, is something to definitely think about here. So let's see what else we got at the defensive line and offensive lines. Because we definitely have some options on the defensive line as well. Brandon Dorlis from Oregon. Got Christian Mahogany from Boston College. Another solid guard option. Leonard Taylor, the Miami defense tackle, although he is starting to slip where you could probably get him later in the draft. I don't know. I think Chris Jenkins is always a solid option for the Chiefs, but Brandon Dorlis is definitely more, I think can play on the edge more, but he's more of a, you know, he's definitely going to be, you know, more of a project on the edge. You know, but he can play on the edge. He can play on the edge.
That's true. We also got Tavondre Sweat here. He's more of like your classic nose tackle. And both Naughty and Pinnell are both on back on only 1 year deals. Those are kind of their true noses. I know, you know, we got Chris Jones back. So I think if they were drafting, you know, in this spot, they maybe would have to take a look at Sweat also, because he could be like that, you know, that solid guy in the nose, at the nose, they could have for a while. But I mean, also Chris Jenkins is a super athlete. I mean, he can play a lot of different spots. So,
no, I think when you're talking about then signing Jones to a long-term extension, if you're talking about a starter next to him, Sweat's that, you know, early down starter next to him. And, you know, on third downs, obviously they don't even have another defensive tackle on the field. So I think there's logic there. I think there's logic to pulling the trigger on Tavondre Sweat. Cause I think the offensive line class, do you think we can maybe wait on them? I think there's a few guys that could last to the third round if we really want to attack that position. What do you think?
I think they'll be okay here. I think they can probably wait a little bit.
Now, I kind of did not look at running back before we make the selection final, because, you know, unless, you know, if someone really talented is there, are we tempted in a Braylon Allen? Are we tempted in a Blake Corum? Are we tempted in, you know, a Trey Benson is exciting. Jonathan Brooks is still there. I mean, all the top running backs, honestly, are still on the board. Any tempt here?
I think we'd be safe to go at least another round on this. I'm surprised that they're running back rankings just a little bit.
Yeah, I am too. The Braylon Allen's a little low. All right, Tavondre Sweat, Chief. I think that's great. I think you're getting an immediate starter. That's definitely in Veach's wheelhouse to do that. And we're going to let it ride this third round to see how it goes. We're seeing running backs go off the board now. More receivers as well. Bucky Irving off the board. That's pretty early for me. I didn't realize he'd be such a high pick. Trey Benson goes right off the board right before us. And so we're at round three. We're looking probably at offensive line, seeing what kind of guards we can get, what kind of value at the offensive line position we can get. We have guys like Cooper Beebe from K-State, the guard. Christian Jones, the right tackle from Texas, I know you are a fan of. He can definitely, you know, if they want to play, you know, he can be a swing guy and definitely, you know, play some guard as well if you really needed to. Some true centers at the top, Cedric Van Praan, Bo Limmer from Arkansas. Are we feeling the offensive line right here? Are we feeling attacking it?
What do we have? I like the players here. I just think like they could probably wait a little bit longer. What do we got at like running back right now? I know we checked last round, but what are we kind of looking at now?
So Ray Davis from Kentucky, Marshawn Lloyd from USC, Audric Estime from Notre Dame, Braylon Allen is still there as that, you know, he is slept on, I will say. And a guy like Isaac Arendo is still there. I think he's someone that doesn't need to be picked this high, but is an exciting player too. What are you thinking? You thinking a running back?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely a need for one, because, I mean, you go take a look at who they have on the roster right now. It's Pacheco, who has the NFL experience right now. It's Pacheco. And also, the Chiefs have done a fine job, I think, of finding, like, these reserve linemen here and there that can also, like, have – I mean, Nick Allegretti is a seventh-round draft pick, and he started two Super Bowls for them. I mean, they do know what they're doing, so there can be guys that aren't even on our radar right now. I just think you look at the running back room, I hate to be making all the picks right now, but I do like Braylon Allen a lot just because he has that he's number one, great third down pass blocking back. That is instant value in the Chiefs offense. Number two, for being like a big load like he is, he catches the ball really well out of the backfield. That can be used to their advantage. And if the Chiefs just wanted to line up and just pound on people for a while, I think he would be a guy that you want to go with in tandem with Pacheco.
No, he's the guy I like the most out of this group as well. Will Shipley is a guy that I think, you know, is a change of pace back, but not someone that, you know, I want someone that has a little more build, I think. Because I want someone, you know, if we're going to pick him this high, he needs to be able to play on early downs and passing, like we're kind of saying, right? He shouldn't be a one guy or the other, I think. And Braylon Allen's definitely that prototype to me with all these guys. I like Marshawn Lloyd too, I will say. But I think Braylon Allen's just a little more talented and just slept on. He played in a very one-dimensional offense with no pass game. I think if he plays in a more spread-out offense, his talents will show a little more. And so Let's do it, dude. Let's stack the offense because we already took Ladd McConkey, and so we're taking like another guy that's going to contribute to the offense right away. And that's what does Brett Veach do? He overcorrects when something, you know, is not, you know, going their way in the draft or in a season, right? And that's what happened last year. Is this offense wasn't as good as it needed to be. And so we did get Ladd McConkey, Braylon Allen. We also added a starter to the defensive line. Again, Tavondre Sweat's going to be the starter, I would imagine, right away over guys like Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell. But those are valuable depth pieces too, Caleb. So I think when you put it that way, when you're putting those three guys they've re-signed behind Tavondre Sweat and Chris Jones, it's really a stacked defensive line too. So I really like how we've come out here, honestly.
Yeah, I think with going with McConkey and Allen in the first and third round, I think those are like plug-and-play guys. Tavondre Sweat could, at least to me, they're going to have time to develop him a little bit. He's going to have time to get used to the game because he's going to have a couple of guys in front of him who've played and who are, you know, no stranger to what it takes to take on an NFL double team, you know, every play of nearly every game that you're going to be involved in. So, I mean, I think they could even afford to wait a little bit on Sweat, but, I mean, if they are looking just to lock up that long-term nose tackle, then I think that would be a no-brainer for them to take him also.
Before we get out of this, like Marshawn Nealon was kind of falling. Like, would you have, and I know we, you know, maybe I shouldn't talk about him because I do want to talk about him later, but, you know, would you have been willing to trade up for like a Braswell when he was falling a little bit? Would you have been willing to trade up for like a defensive end type rather and save defensive tackle for later? Or do you value that position like that? Or are you cool with defensive tackle where it is?
I think it depends. I saw, I mean, like Darius Robinson fell. Like if I were the Chiefs, you might
He was at 31. Yeah.
You might have wanted to jump on that because you know he's going to be a fit. My thing with like these defensive end, defensive lineman guys they're kind of looking at is, you know, Chris Jones is going to be real versatile. They're going to have guys that they can plug and play. It's just, you know, you have to kind of make that decision. I feel like at some point that you do want to invest in a true nose tackle. While it's not going to be like this elite level of pass rush you're going to get, he's going to really solidify an area of your game that's, you know, super important to be good in. But, I mean, when you're talking about it also, though, like, yeah, I mean, it would be hard to pass on like a Nealand or like a Chris Jenkins if they're dropping or they're getting closer there or even into the first round, Robinson or like Braswell are still around just because those guys have the potential to be like very versatile players.
Yeah, no, and I think the one position we probably, you know, I think we both could acknowledge that probably could have got picked too is guard or interior offensive line just because Veach loves to pick a year ahead like we've been talking about. You know, they're going to need a long-term starter, but also just depth. But that's a mock draft, and I do like stacking the offense one way or another. And I think, you know, Braylon Allen's going to contribute right away and give this offense another dimension at the you know, running back that they haven't had. Behind Pacheco or with Pacheco. Not, I shouldn't say behind Pacheco. You really shouldn't when you're picking, you know, a third round pick like this. I mean, he could absolutely become, you know, the future guy if he turns it on. So, all right, we'll get to break here. And then on the other side, we'll talk about some of these guys that we didn't pick, the interior offensive linemen on the other side. All right, we're back here on the AP Draft Room, breaking down this year's draft class, breaking down everything about the Chiefs' perspective of it. We just did a three-round mock draft. Was a fun little exercise. We'll definitely be doing a few more of those before we get to the draft, maybe involving a few more people. But Caleb, now it's time to get to another position. We've been doing this every time we've been on a podcast together this offseason, breaking down a position group in the 2024 class, doing it by four categories: star, solid, sleeper, slacker. As someone that's just kind of a, you know, maybe not someone we're excited about so far. And we're doing it for the interior offensive line. I definitely centered on guys that are probably just going to be guards, although my first guy has played center in his career or could play center. But, you know, I think we're just going to be talking about just interior offensive line in general. That's how it's usually categorized. And Caleb, you know, I know I'm first on the list, but I just opened it up. So I'm going to let you go first here with the star category. You have a guy that should be a fan to most people in the metro area. Who do you have?
Yeah, I got Cooper Baby. I talked about him a couple weeks ago. He's one of my prospects of the week. Versatile player. He's played some different spots at Kansas State. He is probably going to be a center or a guard in the NFL, but he does have good movement skills. I think he pulls really well. He can, like, line up his kickout blocks on power. He can.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Like wrap around, he'll be good in like a, for a team that wants to run like pin and pull stuff like that, where the guards can go be athletic. But also a thing I love about him, he loves a fist fight in a phone booth, man. He will get in there, out-leverage people. He just creates movement off the ball. He's a nasty finisher. I see him being like a 10-year player in the National Football League. I see him like gaining quite a bit of a following because I think he's going to be, you know, one of the more nasty players, whether he ends up at center or guard. That's yet to be determined, but the thing I love about him, he's got that just point of contact strength, you know, that point of contract strength. You know, he just gets in there and moves guys off the spot, and that's one of the most important things you can do as a guard.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that's the name of the game. And so, yeah, he is 66th on the Athletics – or 63rd, excuse me, on the Athletics consensus board right now. So, yeah, I think you'd be looking at maybe a second-round pick, which makes a lot of sense for, again, we're talking about, you know, a guy that can be interior depth and a future starter at the position if Trey Smith and Joe Tooney, one or the other, to move on next year as their contracts expire, although Tooney obviously has a little more. I am going Graham Barton from Duke, who is someone that played left tackle for them, obviously. He played mainly left tackle for them and actually only played center besides that. He had 430 snaps at center as a true freshman for Duke. But so he is a versatile player, right? He's someone that, you know, could play maybe left guard in the NFL in a pinch. But it's that arm length that he has that's going to kind of maybe cost him a little bit at the next level. 32 7/8, just under that 33-inch arm threshold. But what you like about him, he is just super solid, man. You know, he's got those tucked elbows that are just kind of naturally, you know, gripping you, punching you, not letting you go. You know, he has that you know, those quick feet, you know, kind of make up for maybe the lack of length. You know, and he's just going to get to the second level quickly, just make that look easy. He's going to move guys, you know, like you were kind of saying with, you know, because he's not the biggest, he's not the most powerful dude. He's not this big, you know, big dude. He's more like a Joe Tooney type of guard where, you know, he's really just going to keep you in front of you. You know, he's not going to let you by. He's just going to be rock solid, you know, maybe not necessarily moving guys, but maybe when he gets to the second level, you know, really just, you know, sealing off stuff, you know, so I think he is going to be, you know, he could be a center. You know, he's 6'5", 313, right? He, again, he's not going to be the heaviest dude. And that's what he came in at the combine. But I just think if the Chiefs were to pick him, he's going to be like a first-round pick probably. You know, he came in Athletic Consensus Board 27th. Chiefs were to pick him, talk about a future starting left guard for sure. I mean, he would walk into Tooney's place, absolutely. Or he could play right guard as well, too. He definitely could. He'd be a different kind of right guard, I think, than Trey Smith, obviously. But definitely a super solid one. Going to be a starter for a long time in the NFL, I imagine, if he is a guard. But, you know, some team could try him at left tackle. He's been a 3-year starter at left tackle. So what do you think about Graham Barton?
I kind of like comped him to Brandon Scherff a little bit, like a younger Brandon Scherff when he was, like, still productive in Washington. That kind of, I don't know, I just thought they were kind of similar in the way they played. They're both really good at blocking at the second level. He's got the movement skills kind of like Scherff did, but I think we're moving on. We go into the solid category, and I got a guy who's a little bit underrated. You know, Christian Haynes from UConn. You don't really think about like these great players coming from UConn, but this guy's an entertaining watch. Now, he's a little bit undersized, right? He's only like 6'3", probably about 315 pounds, but he moves extremely well. I'm talking if you want to run a lot, if your team wants to run a lot of outside zone, or you need a guard that can like cut off a zero nose, or like a guard that can, you know, get out in space and like help reach block over to like a five technique with the tackle and do stuff like that. He's going to be your guy. If you want to run a lot of screen passes, he's going to be your guy also for that. Other thing I like about him, he is nasty. He plays the game with a nasty demeanor. He's constantly out there trying to finish guys. But while he's not like the greatest like point of contact mover, I think that where you could see a fit for him like the Chiefs is, like you mentioned a little bit, he's kind of one of those guys that he does stay in front of people really well pass pro. He's got an underrated base and a core, but really some of that foot quickness, he's able to take on like some of these more athletic rushers. He may struggle sometimes early in his career against like, you know, like the big bull rushing nose tackle, like a Vita Vea type guy. But all in all, I mean, as he continues to grow and get stronger as a guy, he's going to continue to improve his game. I think that that could be a quality pick for the Chiefs in like the third or fourth round.
Yeah, no, I think he's definitely the Chiefs kind of player in terms of, like you said, like playing out in space, you know, just making plays on screen passes. You know, he was definitely a fun prospect in his conference, you know, getting to beat up on some of those dudes he got to play. I think he'll be a definitely an exciting player at the next level. And so I think mine's a little bit of the opposite in terms of solid, because I think, you know, I think mine fits the definition of solid, you know, in just terms of being rock solid, a guy that I could see absolutely being kind of that road grader right guard, you know, for the Chiefs in the future, at Christian Mahogany, the Boston College guard, someone that, you know, has been high on, you know, draft radars for a while. He's played both guard positions, you know, good chunks at a time, but he tore his right ACL before the 2022 season, which obviously put him behind a couple of years. He might have went to the draft after 2022. You know, so he is definitely someone that's kind of still recovering from that, you know, but he was still, you know, able to start last year at right guard. And it's just he has those big hands, those big long arms. And you can just see how he can, you know, not only move people, you know, at the line of scrimmage, you know, create those down blocks, you know, create those, you know, those leverage angles for running backs to hit on power and counter. But you can also see, you know, how he can kind of just like reach, you know, not necessarily because of his foot quickness, but he just has that length to kind of, you know, make up space and reach linebackers and kind of seal them off as well. He can definitely be that kind of Trey Smith future replacement, in my opinion. And he's kind of solid, but maybe not, you know, he's just not going to be as flashy as Trey, right? Trey's got those flashy blocks, those, you know, I don't think Chris, you know, he can definitely finish blocks and has powerful hands and all that. But, you know, I think he's just more rock solid than Trey. Trey is definitely a highlight reel of a right guard at times. And he's going to get paid like one next year, especially with this guard mark. I know y'all talked about that last week, too. But all right, let's get into some sleepers. Let's get into the sleepers. Unless you have any Christian Mahogany thoughts, but give us your sleeper.
I was going to say he's definitely built like a guard, you know, big, yeah. Big dude all the way around. So, you know, that is something the Chiefs like, is like the bigger framed guys.
Yeah. Especially, you know, like depth, you know, he might be tough to, you know, say, hey, you know, can you make him, you know, can you train him at center? He's just been such a guard, but he could probably, you know, he's just going to be like a Nick Allegretti, just kind of like, you know, get in there and, you know, come in and rock some people real quick. Who do you have a sleeper?
All right, I got kind of a local prospect as sleeper. I got Dominic Pooney from the University of Kansas. I know everyone that knows I'm a Mizzou fan probably wondering why, but always got a little soft spot for all the former D2 guys out there, especially offensive linemen. But all right, this guy played a lot of left tackle in college. He played a lot of left guard also. He is very versatile. He can snap the ball. He was snapping at the Senior Bowl when he was there, and he's just an overall, you know, rock-solid good player, real big guy. You know, he's got the frame to where he can kind of play any of the positions. He had some good testing numbers at the combine also. And you see him out there, you know, he gets movement off the ball no matter where he's going to be at. That's kind of the important thing for me, is my guard going to be able to line up against a three technique and create some push every once in a while? I think if he's playing guard, he can do that. I think if he's playing center, he could do that also. But as you start to fall into like the fourth round, a little bit later on, that positional versatility becomes so important with, you know, the offensive line guys. And I really do think he is a guy that can probably play all three positions at the next level. You know, you send him out to left tackle in a pinch. But, yeah, I just think he's being underrated a little bit. I think he'd be like a really good early day three, late day two pickup for Kansas City.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's got that build. I think some left tackles just have that lower half build, that look. And I think he definitely has that, even though he's not a left tackle, but just kind of someone that's going to have that foundational ability. That's going to be a solid player, I imagine. So I think he's a, you know, a good sleeper, because he is being slept on. My guy's a little deeper too, because that Michigan offensive line has a few guys on it that are obviously going into the draft. But the guy I think just stands out as someone that's not getting talked about is Trevor Keegan, the left guard, number 77. Just someone that, you know, he has kind of that movement ability, that almost has like tackle footwork a little bit at guard. But I think he also combines that with being able to just play with good leverage. You know, I think he's not the strongest dude. He came in at 6'5", 310, but you just see him kind of just work the attack points, kind of hit the right angles when he's down blocking, really drive too, really have that good triangle of, having the wide legs and really driving guys away from the pile. You just really see that, kind of make up for his for his lack of power a little bit. But I just think, he's good at pulling too, and has those impactful punches, and kind of can get to the next block quickly. He can kind of, change direction. So I do like him as a Chiefs fit, a little on day three, right, as that guy that can come in, maybe play a bunch of different positions, even center maybe. He's got that athletic ability. He hasn't played center in college or anything. He's only played left guard and left tackle for 35 snaps in 2022, but definitely a left guard. And maybe a right guard at the next level, but depth for sure right away for the Chiefs. Have you seen any of him at all?
Well, if he played at like a smaller college, do you think he could have played tackle, like a MAC school or something like that?
Probably, honestly. He kind of, like, the way he comes out of his stance is almost like he's trying to play. He's like Wiley a little bit, where, like,
That's what I was trying to get at there. Compares to Andrew Wiley very well. Like, he is, like, not ever going to be the best guy on the field, but he takes, like, the right angle to the play. He is a better athlete to where he can recover when he screws up, and he does, like, play incredibly hard. So, I mean, third-round guy, if he's fitting what the Chiefs are putting down, I mean, could play a little guard. He could maybe even slide out and play a little right tackle if the footwork's still there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The Wiley stuff is definitely there a little bit. And he played at Michigan, right? So he's been in the Big Ten. He's been down and dirty in the trenches, but he had a 9.38 RAS. So he's definitely someone that has the athleticism. It shows up in his testing ability. So he's definitely my sleeper for sure. But all right, we got to get to the slackers now. I can start with mine because, he's someone that I was excited kind of maybe at first. I kind of wanted to maybe make him a fit for the left guard. This is Javion Cohen for Miami, Florida. He was a left guard there. And really, when you look at him and you kind of maybe look when he comes out of his stance, you're like, okay, I can kind of see this guy being this left guard, being a pass protector at the next level. But everything after that just really doesn't look that great to me. He just really does not handle pass rush well, even though he kind of like sets up like he's, he has that kick, he has that, ability to kind of, he's not going to, maybe get beat off the line. But he just does not handle pass rush moves well, just does not handle strength well. He's definitely, he definitely gets bowled over and is a little top heavy a little bit, right? He can definitely get, kind of moved around, shoved with the hand movements, kind of thrown a little bit. And it's just not a powerful enough to be a guard. I think he's probably going to not be someone that has, quite an NFL career. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to, I shouldn't be that negative. It just feels like he's a lot of like, everything looks good, before the engagement happens and then it just all falls apart. And so I'm not a fan of him. If the Chiefs were to get in that guard, like we've been kind of talking about, he should not be one of the options. I would not be a fan if he was the pick in that guard, that day two, day three kind of range.
Yeah, man, for like being kind of a, like more compact guy, I feel like he struggles with leverage sometimes. I think especially in pass rush, like you figure a guy kind of like built like him would be real good against the bull rush, but he kind of like gets high. He kind of like takes like long steps instead of like short choppy steps when he's kind of in that, in his pass sets. So that'd be concerning to me, especially for, the Chiefs offense, especially where you can't have your front three being knocked back like that.
Right. No, I totally. Yeah, exactly. I think they need guys that have some build to them. And it'd be nice if like, because Joe Tooney obviously is that example of like, well, yeah, if you're going to be really good at, locking down a one-on-one, a pass protector and really sealing it off, even if you're not the most powerful dude, but he just gets beats too much in those areas. But who are you slacking today?
I chose a center, though. I think he can play both in the NFL. It's Cedric Van Pran from Georgia. Wasn't really all that impressed with the tone of the Georgia offensive linemen this year in general. I just think as much as Georgia runs the ball, I felt he kind of struggled to attack, you know, like and create movement at the point of attack, and just really not really overall like all that, like just enthused about what I see from him, especially from being like an SEC lineman. It's like we've seen him against some good competition, and he just kind of goes out there and it just didn't really feel all that great. He doesn't take like the best angles. He's like okay in pass protection sometimes, but he's always like a help slide side. He's never really just like by himself. And just, I just think he's a little bit, I think he's a little light too. He just doesn't create enough movement in the game for me really seeing his game translating to the NFL very successfully.
Well, the consensus board would agree with you a little bit because he was 83 in the last one. He's dropped 13 spots to 96 in the top 100. You know, but that's still, you know, is that still a little higher than you go for him? 96, that'd be a third round pick.
To me, yes, there's nothing like that really about, because okay, remember this, guys, like to our listeners, like if you're taking an offensive lineman in the first three rounds, he's going to be a starter for you, possible two contract player. 100%. Like, I think that right now, Cedric Van Pran would be like a borderline starter on like a bottom tier offensive line of the NFL. I don't know if that's a third round pick. I think maybe like a fifth round or fourth round guy. Yeah, you can maybe make more of an argument, but I never really bought like that he's one of the top centers in this class, because there are some good centers in this class, and I've just never really bought into that.
Yeah, there are definitely some good centers. All right, let's get out of here with prospect of the week. That's right, prospect of the week. We are always trying to pick potential Chiefs draft picks by the time we get to the late April draft day. You know, we're hoping we have as many draft picks as possible. We've been going to the top of the class for the most part. Although I will say Maurice and Jared both came out with some sleepers. So shout out the guests for coming out with some bangers in terms of Isaiah Adams and Cornelius Johnson, who, yeah, I do think Jared's onto something there as a possible day three if the Chiefs don't attack receiver too high. But all right, Caleb, I'll let you attack this first. We've already talked about him a little bit, but go ahead.
We've talked about him on two episodes now, but my prospect of the week, I'll just go with Ladd McConkey. I do like the guy. I think he provides an element the Chiefs have been looking for, like this true slot, just for the different kinds of things he can do. And I think that like with his kind of versatility and kind of what they're trying to develop in Rashee Rice right now, you're going to have like this monster, you know, created if you had him, to where like the defensive coordinators aren't going to be able to like really key in on any one thing. And Mahomes is just going to have all these guys. They're, you know, they're good enough to beat zone, but they're athletic enough to beat the man coverage. And it's just going to be like this kind of like cat and mouse game where you could just have like this, you know, another super offense where you just have super productive guys across the board. I've been on McConkey for a while. I'll continue to be on him until draft day.
Yeah, I think I always, every draft cycle, I get so enamored with X receivers that I always, you know, shy away from maybe these guys. But man, when you think about Rice, you know, his potential development, I think McConkey does really fit into kind of, you know, helping him grow, you know, become a, you know, a more versatile player than just that slot playmaker that we've seen, which has been great. And we're going to continue to use this year and moving forward. But all right, I do want to go with another great fit, in my opinion. And you've talked about him. I know he's a guy you like a lot. But I got the pleasure to write about him for the site, even though we don't have any freaking actual film of him, all these other prospects we can find. It was the same thing with Sky Moore. What is up with Western Michigan not providing us film of draft prospects? But Marshawn Nealon, the defensive end from there. Man, I do think he's just such a great fit for the Chiefs because, you know, he's not the lengthiest guy in terms of like how tall he is, right? He's a more compact dude, but he's got the length in his arms. He's got the, you know, I should definitely have it pulled up here, but he has got the length where he can just, you know, he definitely, it does not matter that he is, you know, that he is a 6'3 guy, but he's 267. So he's got that density, that build to really, you know, bring his weight to a block engagement, really be able to control blocks, you know, especially on the edge. You know, he bullies tight ends. But he can absolutely hold his own with offensive tackles as well. But you're talking about a guy with an 83 3/8 wingspan, 34.5-inch arms. That's ridiculous length. And it shows up, you know, in all facets because he uses it as a pass rusher. You know, he flashes moves where, you know, he really can, you know, get that dip, you know, use those long arms to really give himself that leverage around the outside. you know, he's playing Mac tackles, obviously. So, you know, we got to see how it looks in the NFL. But the thing that really is important about Nealon is that he is a versatile player, man. He's someone that can rush over guards and really bring power with him and you know, win over there. But also, they use him as like this off-ball, like disruptor, where he was playing, you know, in two-point stances, kind of, you know, run up to the line of scrimmage and you know, batting passes or you know, making, you know, making penetration against the run. But there were even times where he was dropping into short zones and making plays on the ball, forcing fumbles or making passes defended. I mean, you're talking about a guy that Spags loves to use his defensive ends in those short zones and those fire zones. But also, you know, obviously just looping around, just, you know, getting inside. He just fits so well with what the Chiefs want to do in terms of the pass rush scheme. But I just feel like he also has the ability, the build, the physique, and the play strength to be an early down player on the edge for the Chiefs. And so I think would be a really, really strong addition to the defensive end room. Do you want to talk any more else about your boy Marshawn Nealon?
I think you hit it on the head, man. He's a sleeper no more.
And he's relentless too. That's the other thing. He really does. He's just like a high motor, just like just getting after it, dude. Like
plays with good leverage. He does have that frame to where he can use those arms and his leverage
exactly.
To his advantage.
Exactly. And I think having Felix as a longer guy, not a longer guy, but just like a, you know, more traditional straight up the end. I think Nealon definitely fits kind of the development path for them too. Can kind of maybe give you the same Karloftis snaps a little bit, you know, when Karloftis needs spelling. I think they kind of fit each other well. So yeah, I'd love him in the Chiefs room. I think he's definitely a high, he's going to be one of my favorite prospects in this class just because of how he fits with the Chiefs. But yeah, prospect of the week, we had to get him on the board, trying to get as many Chiefs players as possible. And that's it for the show tonight. As we move forward, we're going to be talking more draft prospects. We're going to be breaking down, we have to break down the running backs, the tight ends. Those are going to be fun to kind of look at, see what playmakers we really get excited about for the Chiefs draft, for the draft class, but also maybe some cornerbacks, depending on if we get some Legarius Sneed news. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Caleb, anything you want to give to the, or, you know, shout out, you know, working for the site, or just kind of, you know, what you're looking forward to as we get closer and closer to the draft.
It's about time. I got my Jerzon Newton write-up, Johnny Newton from Illinois. We've talked about him a lot on here. Maybe one of my biggest draft crushes. I had my Chop Robinson article out this week. So those are a couple of guys I've really just enjoyed watching. I don't know if they're going to be in the Chiefs range or not, but I've just been taking advantage of the time to write about some of the guys who I think are just going to be good overall players in the NFL.
Exactly. No, and that's the thing. As we get closer to the draft, fellas, or everybody, we will have, you know, a sleeper project. We have, you know, some hidden gem stuff coming where, you know, Caleb always like to highlight some guys from, you know, HBCU, D2, FCS, guys that are, you know, and there have been some hits, you know, a guy like Marquise Bell, you know, I think I was definitely high on him from Florida A&M a couple years ago. You know, you never know. A guy like James Houston last year, we highlighted him. He was a fun player for the Lions last year, so. Shout out, you know, the small school players will be getting them as we go. But all right, appreciate everyone joining us tonight. We will catch you guys next week. Break down more of the draft. Thank you for listening.